Last week, somebody that was up here got a little crazy and wild, but I did hear this week from a guy that never to trust a preacher that doesn't pound on the pulpit every once in a while. So I figure I guess maybe I'm trustworthy. So today I want to talk about the call. I've been talking to a couple of guys this week. I was talking to them about it. It's something that comes up quite often. What are we called to do? What are we called to be? Where are we called to go? And when I was in college, I had actually never really heard the term that much until I went to college. And like everybody there had this calling, you know, and I wasn't really sure. You know, I kept asking, what's your calling? And I was like, I don't know, 406-989. I don't know. I mean, I didn't know what a calling was. I didn't really understand what the question was, because everybody's talking about being called to do this and the called to do that. And so I, started to understand what was going on. And when you're in college, things are a little bit, the people you're around sometimes, you typically know it all, but don't really know much. When you're around college kids that are, big on the call and being called to do things, you start understanding that they're called to do things that they want to do, which is kind of interesting. There are things that are easy. And Kirk, will you shut that, please? The call that we receive sometimes, thank you, is different than we might want or might like to hear. And the way people go about it sometimes is a little bit interesting to me. But I want to talk about it a little bit, because it's really a prevalent, prevalent, is that the word? It's really something that's really come along in the religious world, the religious marketplace, about pushing the call. You've got to be called to do something, and it's talked about, whether you're going to be a missionary, whether you're going to be a preacher, whether you're going to be a teacher, and then there's also the secondary call, that's the call to certain jobs. Then there's another call that's called, like, what part of the world you're going to go to, and then, I don't know, there's like four or five different callings. And we're supposed to figure out, and one of the terms I was reading this morning was the unquestionable call, which is the one where you absolutely know that it's a call. So there must be some calls that are questionable, but this one is unquestionable. So I was reading a little bit, and I read this article, and he talked about, examples of people in the Bible that were called, like, to be prophets and things like that. And he was talking about how there is people that are called to certain vocations. That means jobs, Kirk. Certain vocations. And so he was going to give all the biblical examples for him. But he went through that portion of his article and never had a scripture. So it was interesting to me that he had this article about the different callings, but he didn't have scripture go along with it. So I'm going to kind of go through a little bit of what I believe the calling is. And to do that, we're going to go through a few examples real quick. Turn over to Matthew. We're going to be Matthew for a couple of minutes. We're going to be we're going to be all over the Bible a little bit, mostly the New Testament. But Matthew chapter 4 is the first one. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, and it says, "And walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, being Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And they immediately left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the boat and their father and followed him." Okay, so example here, he's calling the first apostles. And as we see, these guys are fishermen. And he calls him out, and he just says, hey, follow me. Now, we might not think that that's exactly what the term is, but this is Jesus telling them to do something, and he's saying to follow them. Again, in Matthew chapter 9, we read about Matthew being called to follow him. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, and it says, and Jesus passed on from there. He saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. So, a couple examples there. Jesus calling the apostles. Let's do one more. Let's go over to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Starting in verse 17. And he was setting out on a journey. A man ran up to him and said, and knelt before him and began asking him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, I have kept all of these things from my youth up. And looking at him, Jesus felt love for him and said to him, one thing you lack, go and sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So Jesus, in these spots, he's telling the people, you know, they're asking him, you know, especially this one, he's asking him what he needs to do to inherit eternal life. And he tells him, you know, talks about the commandments. He says he's kept all of these. He says, well, go sell your possessions and give to the poor. And then he says, and follow me. So Jesus is calling that man out to follow him. Now, the young man here was saddened by this news and decided not to, I don't know what his decision ultimately was. Eventually, I hope that he made the right decision. But he, at that point, was saddened by the news because he was a very wealthy person. But there was something in common with all three of these people. So one, they're fishermen. Pretty lowly lifestyle. And then there was a tax collector who everybody hated, but probably lived a little bit better. And then there was a very rich man. Now, that's three different walks of life, three different jobs, and three different probably levels of people at the time. But there was one thing said to all of them, and that was to follow him. Now, sometimes we can muddy the waters. And we can try to put God in a box and have him you know, basically try and decide what we do in our lives in this physical part based on what God, you know, something that we feel God is telling us. Now, I don't believe that. I don't believe in the call. I've never believed in the call. I've always kind of hated the call. Because what it's done is people want... you know, people want to know what they should be doing, and it's not that the individuals, it's that people have been told that you have to have a call. People have been told that you have to be called to do something. And when I was in college, I understood that it wasn't, these college kids just didn't come up with this. This is something they've been told their whole lives. Something about being called to do this, or called to do that. So, the religious marketplace has told people they're called to do things. And if people, you know, get to do certain things, they feel like they're you know, struggling in that job or struggling in that part of the world, they've got to go searching for something else because the Lord's calling them to something else. And sometimes we can twist that stuff around to make ourselves feel better about what we're doing even. You know, one thing that I know for a fact that God will never call you to do is to do something evil. Or to do something that's not righteous. Or to, you know, you guys just got back from Las Vegas. Most of the workers there, I guarantee you God didn't call them to their vocation. I mean, I'm just going out on a limb here, but I'm pretty sure that's not the case. But sometimes... it doesn't have to even be anything evil. But people, you know, I remember a story about a guy who's trying to decide where to go, you know, where to move. And he wasn't sure which way God was calling him, and so he prayed, you know, God, you know, give me a sign or whatever. And the guy ended up getting a job at this one place. So he's like, well, that's where God wants me to go. Well, the guy's uncle, you know, realized he didn't have a job and was like, hey, you want to come work here? You know, I'm not 100% sure that that's God calling him. You know, I think that's his uncle thinking the guy wasn't working and needed money for his family. He's like, hey, you want to come work for me? You know, there can be different parts of that, and that maybe that is God opening the door. But my point is we cannot build a gospel on feeling. We cannot build a gospel on something that we feel called to do. That us feeling something is not something we can take and we can prove. I've been having a Bible study with a young man who's very big on speaking in tongues and healings and lots of this different stuff. And I keep talking to him, and he keeps asking me. He's like, he's really bothered because he's a nice guy, and he's very very well versed in the scriptures, actually, which was quite surprising to me, because a lot of times the people that have those beliefs aren't. But he's very very deep in the scriptures. And it's really bugging him. He's like, you know, why don't you want these things? And I said, well, that's not my focus. He's like, why don't you want them? It's just bugging me that you don't want them. But the problem is, what I keep telling him, is we cannot prove them. We cannot prove that that person had a broken arm before they took their cast off. Maybe they've had a broken arm. Maybe it was 18 weeks ago and they took their cast off, all of a sudden healed. You know, we can't prove certain things. We can't prove word of mouth. We can't prove that this person has never spoke Spanish before, and today they spoke Spanish. We cannot prove that type of stuff, because it does not line up with the scriptures, for one. But I can't prove the scriptures. I can't build a gospel off of something that I feel or something that I say. So when I say I've been called to do this, and people are like, oh yeah, how's that? And you know, you tell them, well, I just really feel like God's calling me to this place. Well, can you show me in the scripture? If you can't show it in the scripture, then you can't build a doctrine off of it. You can't build a belief off of it. It's not gospel truth. If it's something you're feeling. And pretty much every time that I've ever heard somebody talk about the call, it goes with, I feel called to do this. Or I feel called to go there. Feeling should have nothing to do with it. Feeling is not gospel truth. Feeling is can be manipulated. Anyway, I'm off subject. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. We see Paul here. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Now, he was definitely called to do something specific. I'm not going to argue that. But he was called as an apostle. To go, and he went out and he spoke and he taught. Scoot down to verse 6. And he's talking about the saints here in Rome. And in verse 6 he says, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Famous verse, misquoted, misused a lot of times. But we're not going to focus on that today. We're going to focus on the end part of verse 28 of Romans chapter 8. And we know that God, verse 28 of Romans 8, and we know that God causes all things to work together for those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. Turn over to chapter 9, verse 23. And he did so in order that he might make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he also called, not from among the Jews only, but also from among the Gentiles. If you're not picking up on the theme here, the theme of this idea, We are called to do one thing, and actually, we are all called. We are not called to work on a ranch. We are not called to work on a farm. We are not called to work at Outback. We are not called to work at Graco. We are not called to be heating and cooling guys. We are not called to do any of that stuff. But if you've noticed, the continuing thought between all of these things is we are called to Jesus. And that is the difference. That, in my opinion, in my belief, God could care less whether or not you're fixing fence or you're plumbing, or whether you're preaching or whether you're being a missionary. Now, I think that he does care about the little things. I shouldn't say he could care less. I think he cares about the little things, and he wants us to have opportunities in different ways. But I think that whether or not we're a plumber or we're a rancher, God cares about one thing way more, and that's whether or not we're saints. And I think that we can focus too much on being called to do physical things, and we forget the idea that we're called to live righteous, to follow him, and to preach the gospel. And I think that that's the biggest part of it. If you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll go there again, kind of a parallel a little bit to Romans. Well, let's just touch a couple more of them. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Turn over to verse 23. Let's start at verse 22. For indeed Jews ask for signs, and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To Jews, a stumbling block, and to Gentiles, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God. But by this doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. God is calling each and every person. He's calling from the Jews, he's calling from the Gentiles, and he's calling to him. And it does not matter whether it's riches and glory. He says to the foolish things, to the wise. He chooses the despised things. He chooses. God does not care if we're billionaires or if we have a few dollars in our hand. He wants us, no matter what case we are in this world, to follow him. And that is the most important part. Now, again, there's certain things that we do. I mean, if I ranch for a reason. I like ranching. I like working with the cattle. I like doing different stuff. But me ranching doesn't make me any closer to God than if I was farming. You know, it might make me a little better. You know, I don't know. But it doesn't make me closer to God. The things we do in this life, the physical things, the jobs that we have, are not what make us closer to God. Now, it does come into effect of how we do those jobs. Can it be a result of how our mindset is and what we are doing in this life. But us actually doing those jobs has nothing to do with being closer to God. I have a friend who was, when I went to college with him, and he was a young Christian at the time. It's been a few months, and he got to college, and everybody hitting the call, find your calling, what are you called to do, all this stuff. And to him, it was like, well, I got to pick something. And so he just picked being a missionary. Well, Fast forward a little bit, he went to South Sudan, had to flee to Uganda. It's pretty bad if you have to flee to Uganda because how bad it is in South Sudan. Come back to America, was gone 3 months, has never been a missionary again. And it's just, he just went completely from being on fire for things to completely, I don't know what's going on with him now. I can't get a straight answer out of him. He's having trouble with his wife, having trouble with his jobs, having troubles with, I don't think he even attends anywhere anymore. Last time I had a deep conversation with him about it, he said, being a Christian, God, I've never gotten anything out of this life by serving God. That's a pretty tough place to be. And in my opinion, in my belief, watching him through the years, is because so many people were telling him, you got to find the calling. You got to find what you're doing. And he tried to find it and tried to find it in different things, and he could not find it. And it broke him. Because he was focused on trying to find the calling to go do certain things instead of trying to find the calling to follow in Christ. It was mixed up because people have put more importance on finding the calling of where you're supposed to be than actually the calling of just following Christ and living righteously. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. Chapter 2, I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 2. Quite a few people here are familiar with the Holy Spirit booklet back on the wall there, and in one of the chapters in that booklet is talking about the Holy Spirit. We can know, I think it's that one. It's one of them anyway. It might be the outline, but we know about the Holy Spirit by its names. So go through the names, and you can know about the Holy Spirit. But we can also know about ourselves by our names and how we're referred. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are a people of God. And you had not received mercy, but now have received mercy." God is not calling us to do certain things, but God is calling us out of the darkness and into the light, and we need to not forget it. And we need to live our lives in a way that we actually are the things that we are called, that we actually are that royal priesthood, that holy nation, the people for God's own possession. If we focus on those things instead of the physical things that God's trying to call us to, or that we think God's calling us to, something might open up. You see, whether or not I'm ranching in Glendive or I'm building houses in Haiti, I can have an effect on the kingdom of God no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, no matter what job I'm working, no matter what part of the world you're in. We are called to live holy, to live righteously, follow Jesus, and to proclaim the gospel. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. For context, let's start in verse 37, and because I like the verse. "And now they heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let each of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.' And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' So then those who had received the word were immersed, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." Verse 39, "For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are as far off, as many as the Lord God shall call to himself." For as many as the Lord God shall call to himself. God is calling, and you are called, and it is calling you to him. It is calling you to follow him. It is calling you to take those steps to receive that promise. He's not calling us to be school teachers. He's not calling us to be school bus drivers. He's not calling us to be school lunch ladies. Maybe Kirk. I've been picking on you today, man. I love it. He's not calling us to be ranchers. He's not calling us to be cowboys. He's not calling us to be UPS drivers. He's not calling us to work in the oil field. He's not calling us to play baseball. He's not calling us to be waitresses. He's not calling us to be in the Nutcracker. Doesn't make any of those things bad or different. We can do all of those things. But to inherit eternal life, we better follow him. The call has been overused, manipulated, put a yoke on people. We've been given a spirit of freedom. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5, actually, before we close. I just reminded this one. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. And honestly, I really do believe that people who push the call are it's almost like, for my friend anyway, for sure, it's almost like a weight that's put on you that you have to have. And if you don't have, well, then why do they have it but I don't have it? You know, why are they called to do this thing that's great? Why am I not called to do something? You know, what's this calling and how does it feel? And it's a yoke that is put on people. It's a weight that's put on them. I firmly believe that. But in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, we're told, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." Turn to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 48. "Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." You want to know what to do? You want to know what you're called to be? You're called to be like Christ. You're called to follow him. Don't let people put a yoke on you and telling you that you need to be called to something. You need to be called to something specific. You know, God cares about our individual lives and he cares about the things that we do in our lives, but he doesn't care if we have an amazing job but don't have him. He doesn't care about your job if you're not following him. He cares about us as individuals, and he cares about the little things, but he cares mostly about us coming to him. God desires all men to be saved. Many are called, but few are chosen. It's our decision, and it's our turn to step up and to do the work. Turn over to Matthew chapter 28 before we close. Matthew chapter 28. Start in verse 18. "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, mercy them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" I got one more rant. One more rant to make. Just like that, how we do it? I got one more rant. I've listened to guys on the radio preach a lot, right? We probably all listen to them, 90.9, 590. We got some other ones, 98.5. I think you can get some on there. If you're not here on Sunday mornings, you can flip over to 1400 and hear the Hail Marys and be really weirded out, and lots of other things. But I've listened to these guys on there talking about being called to different things, and they're telling people about this stuff, but I've never heard them preach this passage. I've never heard them preach and tell people to go out into the lost world and tell them. What I have heard them say is, invite somebody to church, I'll do the job. That's not what we're called to do. I do not believe that I've ever invited a single person to assemble here with us. I've never invited a single person. I've not said, hey, you should come on Sunday. That's not what I do. That's not what we do. And that's fine. That's fine if we invite somebody. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But I'm saying that is the 100% full evangelistic tool that most people are told to do. Just invite them to church. That is not spreading the gospel. Now, that might be your part for a while, but our job is to teach people. Our job is to, what does it say here? Go into all of the world, making disciples, immersing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. It doesn't say, hey, get them to the pews and I'll fix them there. It doesn't talk about that. It talks about going out and teaching them. Now, there's probably nothing wrong with inviting somebody to assemble. If they're going to go somewhere, they just will hear the good stuff instead of the bad stuff. That can be a start. That's fine. That's good. I hear these guys talk about the call, but I've never heard them talk about living holy. Never heard them talk about living righteously. You hear them talk about, you know, saying the prayer and doing this and doing that and, you know, and being nice to your neighbors, and that's all good stuff. But that's not the depth. There's no bar raised. And last week I preached a message about there being, you know, whether there's 30 people or 500 people, sometimes it's better to have 30 Christians than have 500 people who just go there. There's a lot of places that have 500 people that just go there because there is never a push to be better. There is never a push to raise the bar. There is never a push to get out of their comfort zone. If you're comfortable and you're never being challenged in the assembly, you might want to question a few things. Because if you're never convicted by a message, I remember when quite a few years ago, there was a preacher by the name of Rick Welty. And we used to sit in one spot, and there was another couple that sat in front of us. And the one time the guy made the comment, he's like, man, when Rick used to preach, I was pretty sure he was preaching at me every Sunday. And Dad was sitting by him and says, I think he was looking over top of you and preaching at me. But that's how it should be. If we're not uncomfortable in the seat sometimes, then we're not getting pushed to be better. If we're not convicted sometimes, then the guy that's preaching, or the guy that's teaching, or the guys that are having conversations with you are not wanting better for you. I'm going to tell you right now. So, if it's shallow and if people are just making you feel happy all the time, which is good. Like, honestly, we should be happy about hearing about the scriptures, but we should be convicted sometimes. I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of the radio guys preaching stuff that is completely false. And then I'm really sick of the guys that aren't yet necessarily preaching stuff that's false, that just aren't preaching nothing that's right. They're not pushing people. But the problem is that we focus on different things too much. And that's probably the reason why I wanted to preach about the call today, is because I'm tired about the different focus. I was talking to the guy that I was telling you the other night, and that was my answer to him when he was asking why I didn't want the spiritual gifts. I said, well, that's not my focus. My focus is to live righteously and to preach the gospel. And he just couldn't fathom that idea, that I wouldn't want the spiritual gifts, because I think they're fleeting. In fact, I don't think they happen anymore anyway, but the reason that they weren't around much longer after the first generation is because we got something better. So why are we trying to replace the gospel, the complete New Testament and the Old Testament, the complete Bible, with the works? It's the same thing. Why are we trying to replace the call to be righteous and to live holy and to serve the Lord and to follow Him with the idea that He wants us to work at McDonald's? I don't know that God calls anybody to work at McDonald's. I don't, maybe. But what He does is He calls them to live righteously. He calls them to be holy. He calls us to be that chosen people. He calls us to be the people for God's own possession. He calls us to live up to that. And that's something we need to work for. Stop looking for the feelings that God is trying to, you know, that we think God is trying to get us to do different things. And just go out and do it. If not us, who? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, immerse them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We have a mission, we have a job. We are called to do it. Let's go do it.